We're in Tomel Dvora, and we're by the eighth characteristic of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Yichbosh Avonoteinu, that God covers up, binds down our sin. Harei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Minhag Im Yisrael B'Mida Zo, V'Hu Sod Kvishat Avon. God treats us with this trait, and this is the secret of God's binding down our sin. Explains Rav Moshe Kordaviro. Ki inei ha-mitzvah hi keforachat aleta nitza. The mitzvah is really like a blossoming plant that's growing, and it keeps growing. Uvoka'at ve'ola ad en tachlit, and it reaches forward and goes up with an infinite growth, Likanes lefanav itbarach, to come before Hashem, blessed be He. Omnam, but ha'avonot, the sins, en lehem knisa sham chas v'shalom, they do not have entrance before God. Ela kovsham shelo yikansu, but God conquers them, binds them down, so they do not enter. Kedichtiv, as the verse says, lo yigurcha ra, God does not let bad enter His domain. Lo yagur b'mgurcha ra, God does not allow bad to live within His domain. Imken, if so, en avon nichnas pnima, the sin does not have entrance before God. Umitam ze, and therefore, schal mitzvah behay al maleka, the reward, the wages for the performance of a mitzvah doesn't exist in this world, mipnei shehem lefanav yitbarach, because the mitzvot are before Him, blessed be He. Veheich giten lo mima shelfanav sachar ruchani bolam gashmi. And how could God give a person from what He has before Him, in the wages are supposed to be spiritual, how does God give that in a physical world? The whole world, if you give a person everything, it's still not worthy enough for one mitzvah. And for the, call it the naches that we give Hashem, so to speak, in the performance of a mitzvah. And for this reason, Hashem says, I don't accept if you try to bribe me with mitzvot. Hamashal b'ze, en HaKadosh Baruch Hu omer, Ase mem mitzvot ve'ase averot ve'eser averot nisharu lamed mitzvot ve'elchu eser be'eser. God says, God doesn't say, okay, a person did 40 mitzvot and a person did 10 averot, so we'll just knock them off and what we remain is with 30 mitzvot. Ela afilu tzadik gemur ve'ase avera achat, even if a person is a completely righteous person and he did one avera, Dome lefanav keilu saraf et haTorah. God considers it as though He burnt the whole Torah. Ad sheyeratzeh chovot, till He pays back what He owes. V'achar kach yekabel sachar kol haMitzvot. And afterwards, God will give a person his wages for all of his mitzvot. V'ze chesed gadol shehaKadosh Baruch Hu oseh im tzadikim. And this is a great kindness that God does with the tzadikim. Sheino menake lehem, that God doesn't really clean off. Mipnei shehaMitzvot chashuvot meod, for the mitzvot are really very chashuv. They're very worthy, umitalot ad lefanav yitbarach, and they're elevated till before Him, blessed be He. Ve'hech yinaku mehem b'shil averot, and how would God allow a person to lose mitzvot just for averot? Ki schar avera u'mechalek geinam, the wages of avera is really part of geinam, u'me'anivze, v'amitzvot scharan me'anechbad, ziv ha'shchina, ve'hech yinakeilu k'neidelu, how could one really cleanse off the other one? The averos, really, the wages are from geinam. The mitzvahs, their wages are from the Shechina. One can't clean off the other. Now, let's... Rav Moshe Kordaviro said two things here. Whenever my wife's in the delivery room, so we have a discussion before she goes in. Is she going to have an epidural? Is she going to have all these different things that could give to do away with pain? And my wife would sometimes say, whatever I say, don't let them give it to me. When I'm in pain, so I might say all kinds of things, you tell them no. And I always say, I can't do that. My wife says, what do you mean? I'm telling you now. Don't listen to me when I'm in pain. Tell them I said no, they shouldn't give you anything. And I always say, yeah, but maybe when you're in pain, you change your mind. How could I say no? You're the one in pain. I'm going to stand out there and I'll tell the nurses, no, don't give her anything. She's all right. I'm telling you, she's all right. I can't do that. So we always have this discussion beforehand. And sometimes I think to myself, you know, if I were a really good husband, then I'd listen to her. Then I'd say, okay, fine. I'll tell them no. So
it's like the one saint who said anytime he tells his wife to do something, she does the opposite. So his son finally said, I'm going to tell my, so if you know that they're going to be in pain, and that even if they say, no matter what I say, you should do this, even if when you know they're in pain, they're going to want this.
I'll add to the quandary. Before the first delivery, I said, why should I listen to her? She doesn't know what the pain's going to be like. After the first delivery, I said, you know what? She went through it once. So she knows. So if in retrospect she's still telling me, so maybe I should listen to her. But then I said, no. Maybe the second one's more difficult than the first. So the second one happened to have been easier than the first. And on the second one, the nurses didn't ask. They gave her something. And afterwards, she felt so bad they gave her something. She said, on the third one, no way. I wasn't with it. I couldn't enjoy the baby. No. So came the third one, and the baby was breached. It was 10 times more difficult than everything that was beforehand. But I stuck to my guns. I said, I'm not saying, I don't think I have a right. I don't know how much pain you're in. I'm gonna call the shots. But let's think for a second. The guys who are adults here are gonna go for a brit milah. The guys in the gear process. When a baby comes for a brit milah, we don't give him an anesthesia. When an adult comes, we give him an anesthesia. So one reason we'll say is it's not as painful for a baby. Another reason we'll say is the anesthesia isn't so good for a person. And not only isn't it so good for a person, but when you put even the simplest anesthesia, there's a cream called Emla, so it's pretty common that kids have an allergic reaction to it. You can see kids with an aver that's this big, and you're talking about big. Think of a baby, it's smaller than your finger, and could be this big, it could swell too, because of anesthesia. And that's not an uncommon reaction. So it's really not so simple to give a baby even a simple anesthesia in the form of a cream. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, why are we giving anesthesia to an adult? So you'll say, why? He can't undergo that pain. Of course you got to give him anesthesia, so why not a baby? So we have to think about how come when we have control, we do what's better for the person. But when the person has control, we let him not do what's better for him. And the answer is that I think we're short-sighted. We're saying, it hurts me now, give it to me now. Imagine going for a root canal and not having anesthesia. But the doctor will tell you, but you know how, it's not good for you, this anesthesia. And you'll say, yeah, but I can't handle that pain. Even if the doctor would say it's not good for us, I think 99% of the people would opt to take the anesthesia because we feel the short term. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is, let's think externally for a second. Let's think, we always think about today. So a second cousin of ours once gave this advice to my brother. He was about to enter medical school, and she told him, I want you to know, when you're in college, so you're thinking about the price of each day. Each day you think, oh, I'm not yet working, I'm not yet in the field, I'm not yet making money. But you have to think in the perspective of when you're going to be 50, when you're going to look back. You'll be 50, 60. You're going to look back and say, okay, this is the type of living I made. This is the type of life I led. I left college 3 years earlier because I wanted to start life. But now my whole life looked this way. When you look back at life, will you look back and say, oh, it was good I left early. I started life earlier. Or will you say, in the scope of things, so instead of leaving college at 27, I should have left at 30. I would have had a better degree in my hands and I would have advanced. I would have had a totally different life. So the same thing, when we look at life, we have to sometimes look at the bigger picture. How are we going to look at it when we look back at life? And what Rav Moshe Cordovero is telling us is that when Hashem weighs our mitzvot and our averot, in the short term, when the person is in the crunch, in the bind, so it's like the woman screaming for an epidural, or the person who's in college and says, I want to go out, or the person who is about to have treatment and says, give me whatever shots you can do, I want to nullify the pain. Because in the here and now, we feel the here and now, that's far more real to us, and then we say, okay, let me deal with it now. And therefore, when a person is in a difficult situation, it's very normal that he'll say, Hashem, take my mitzvahs, knock out that virus, we'll worry about the world to come when we get there. But Hashem doesn't give us that option. Hashem says, I know what's good for you. I know that that's not good for you, and therefore I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to allow you to take mitzvos and knock out your mitzvos and equate them, because that's not what's good for you in the long term. That's not real to us. As much as we talk about Olam Haba and we try to live our lives and remember that there is a world to come, we feel the here and now. We feel the pain of the now.
So, Rav, if I'm clear on it, the mitzvot we do sends directly to heaven. Yeah? And the Averot, Chassid Shalom, we should commit, are atoned for. Sometimes they're atoned for if we're very lucky on earth. Olam Hazeh, and this is Nesion Shel Ahava. Yeah?
That is?
Love
dafka shel ahava. Not necessarily shel ahava. It all stems from ahava.
Either one. So either we atone now or we atone later.
That's the first point he made. But he made a second point. We shouldn't confuse the 2 points. He made 2 points why the merits and the demerits don't get cancelled off. Yeah. Okay.
That necessitates getting past the present.
Right. But usually it's not a question of living through it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about will it be more pleasant to live through it or less pleasant to live through it?
Did I mix something?
I'm just saying, you began with saying that they're before him. And I think that that's a different point that he's making now. His point, just a second, yeah?
The painkillers.
Sometimes.
My father's a surgeon, and I'm telling you the most difficult part of the body is not the surgery, it's dealing with the trauma of the pain. Not the anesthesia, but the trauma of the pain. It's not when you take something out, but it's going through the skin to get there.
Some general anesthetics are pretty life-threatening too.
No one. But the reason we have such well-developed painkillers because sometimes that's also the brain. In regards to pregnancy, they found that one of the women can't remember the pain of childbirth. The brain's designed to forget it. Because they say that if the woman could actually remember, she'd never get pregnant again. There's a necessity of the pain is necessary, but also is being able to forget it or do away with it.
Right. But I'll give you an example from Mila. When we perform Mila on adults, so we tell people you could have a local anesthesia, which will involve shots to the area, or general anesthesia. So a lot of people opt for general anesthesia. There they put a mask on you. But we tell them, if you take general anesthesia, then you lose, because when you get up, you're going to feel terrible. You're going to throw up. You're going to have a few hours where you'll feel terrible. And a local anesthesia, so you'll have a normal life afterwards. Many people will opt for the vomiting afterwards and feeling bad because right now I don't want the pain of a of a.
Wait, so if they opt for local anesthesia, they put in the.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not so bad. Not so bad. It's not. Believe me, it's not so bad. I see the people.
No,
they don't. It's like they only flinch. It's not so bad. The local anesthesia.
Before I was 1 year old, and I'm saying
So the second point that Rav Moshe Kodavir makes is that the currency is different. When we talk about exchange, we have to talk about the same currency. You can't come to me and say, give me $100, I'll sing before you. What does your singing have to do with my $100? You'll say, you give me $100, and tomorrow, when I'll be in my room, I'll scratch my head 3 times. The person looked like he's nuts. What's that one have to do with the other? By the same token, Rav Moshe Kordovero says, when we talk about mitzvot and avirot, we're talking about 2 different realms. We're talking about 2 totally different things. The mitzvot are, in his words, he says, the mitzvot are things that are before Hashem. And the avirot are things that have a portion in Geinom. It's like 2 different worlds. You can't take 2 things that are totally different from one another and compare them. We think of mitzvot and avirot, well, a mitzvah, I did what Hashem wanted. Avera, I didn't do what Hashem wanted. So they should knock one another out. He says, yeah, but you can't look at the action. You have to look at what are the wages. You're dealing in currency. Right.
Did something that Hashem didn't want you to
do. Okay.
That's something that you did that Hashem.
Fine. So he says, but when you want to knock one off the other, you're not dealing with the action, you're dealing with what you're supposed to get for doing the Avraham, what you're supposed to get for doing the mitzvah. And that, he says, are 2 totally different forms of currency. One is from before Hashem, the reward for a mitzvot, and one is from Geinam, and he says you can't use one to knock out the other. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Commandments come from the same source.
Just one second. Yeah.
Yeah, but okay, so we can see that what he's saying is that the mitzvah and avera are 2 totally different. You can't convert one to the other. So one thing I was wondering is, I think like the CI is trying to example says, well, let's say you only have like 1,000,000 mitzvahs and you have 1 little avera. If I say, oh, come on, God, you know, what's 1 little drop in the sea? No, God doesn't ignore it. The same way if you have 1,000,000 averas and 1 little mitzvah, God doesn't ignore the mitzvah. I wonder though, so I guess that definitely makes sense that God isn't just going to totally nullify it and totally forget about it. But there's a difference that it would seem to me that you could logically say, A, that, you know, God will, let's say, just to speak, you know, crudely, God will give you, you know, 1,000 portions of paradise and give you 1 little portion of Gehenna. I mean, you know, whatever, like, but you could just as well logically say, okay, you won't ignore your 1 little drop. You had 1,000 mitzvahs and 1 avera, so you'll get 999 mitzvahs and no avera. I mean, that's
also oh, he's saying things. That doesn't. He's saying that that's what he's coming to preclude.
Yeah. He said that. I mean, does anyone say that you do get the 999, or does everyone agree that you get 1,000?
That's you're right. That's a discussion. The simple reading of a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah seems to be that way, that they are weighed one against the other. Mm-hmm. And that they do seem to knock out one another. The Gemara discusses how you get weighed by Rosh Hashanah, and that we have to discuss. But right now we're seeing what he's saying.
Okay.
So I want us to quickly finish this. We still have to sing. We're having a sing today. But what God does is he takes what we owe him for the averos, and he also gives us our wages for the mitzvot. And that's what the attribute of God is, that he takes into bondage our sin. That God doesn't let the sin come up and take force before him like the mitzvot are forceful before God. God, so to speak, binds the avirot and limits their power so they don't enter before him. Even though God really follows what we do, Hashem watches over what we do, good and bad, nonetheless, when it comes to the good, God lets the good abound. God lets the good keep rising. God lets it flourish to grow very much. And the mitzvos climb on one another and they grow, and you end up having a beautiful garment, so to speak, an honorable garment created from all the mitzvot. V'avonot en lehem segula zo, and sin does not have this. Ela kovesh otam, God binds them, shelo yetzlichu atzacha zu v'lo yikansu pnima, they don't have this success. They don't enter before God. However, we'll understand that. V'af midah zo, and in this trait too, tzich adam nitneg ba, a person has to behave in this. Now, In a second, we'll see what he means. Okay, we'll see that, and then we'll expand a little bit. Shelo yichbosh tovat chaverov v'yizkor ha'atoshek manau. A person shouldn't limit what the good that someone did for him and remember the bad. Sometimes a person, most of us, that's the way we are. When someone else does something good for us, we think, ah, that's minimal. The second they do something bad, we remember it for eternity. Oh, you didn't give me a ride because I missed the bus, because I missed Shabbos, because we let the bad grow. And 10 times a person did give him a ride. So he was going that way anyways, what's the big deal? The second person does something good, we limit. That's nothing. We don't think, oh, he gave me a ride, so I made the bus, so I made Shabbos, so all the good that came from it. So we have to learn from Hashem that the bad we think we belittle, and we don't let it grow, and the good we do let grow. And adraba yichbosh hara v'yishkecheu v'yaznicheu. Anything bad that's on it to us, we should limit the way we view it. We should forget it. We should let go of it. V'lo yagur b'mgorora. Person shouldn't let bad live within us. Sometimes you could be with a person for a meal. You could spend time with a person, and you see he's always talking about the bad. So he's always with bad. But a person should always be focused on the positive and on the good. A person should remember the good others do for him. And it should grow upon all the things that they've done for him. And a person shouldn't think, oh, so he did good, he did bad, we'll knock them both out. Sometimes he does good to me, sometimes he does bad. And I'll think, okay, so I'll forget the good. Lo yasek, and a person shouldn't do that. Ela be'ra'a yitratze kol derech yitzur sheyuchal. On anything bad on him, he should find ways of appeasing, and any way he could, he should become appeased to the person. But the good that someone did him, al yaznicha le'olam miben enav. He should never let go of it. He should always remember the good that was done to him. Ve'alim eino min ha'ra'a. And he should turn a blind eye on the bad that was done to him, kol ma sheyuchal, as much as he could. Keder she'akadosh baruch hu kovesh avonot kepirashna. The way Hashem binds what we do bad, as we explain. And you should know that this is also the difference between a person who's going to be happy and a person who's going to be sad. Throughout our lives, we feel that people did this wrong to us or that wrong to us. A person cut us in line. A teller could have helped us and didn't. If it's the guys that are dealing now with the Rabbanut and Giyur, so you guys are dealing with 10,000 things that the government is doing that you feel is improper to you. And why is this being delayed? And why isn't this paper being done? Why am I in the runaround? And if it's the guys that are making Aliyah, so you're dealing with 1,000 different offices and bureaucracy. I want to tell you, I once got a cartoon in the mail from an organization that was collecting tzedakah. So I didn't even notice. But my chavrusa pointed out to me a very important point about that cartoon. It was at a time when the government cut a lot of funding to the poor. The government just did a lot of kitzutzim, and this tzedakah organization was saying, we help people much more to make up for what the government isn't helping. So they had a big picture of the prime minister, a bald man standing there with a big bat, and on the bat it said, Kitzutzim, we're cutting the funding that we're giving to a lot of things. And he's walking away, he's turning his back on a crying baby, and along comes in this bearded fellow, and he said, and on the bottom of the caption it said, what they took, we give back. And it's like a man with a bat taking a candy from a baby, and they're giving back. And this bearded fellow is coming and giving it back. So my chavrusa pointed out to me, he said, it's so wrong to write a cartoon like that. Because the government didn't take anything. The government doesn't owe people to give them. The government's doing its service. And part of the service the government does is that they give. So they're giving. So now they're giving, but they're not giving as much as they gave last year. They don't owe anyone to give that much. You live in the United States, the government doesn't give you Bituach Lumi like they give here. So you're right, they don't collect the taxes,
actually,
but bottom line,
welfare system.
There's welfare, but here, you have a baby, so you get a check in the mail for check into your bank account, 2,000 checkout. What did I do? Why is the government saying, give me 2,000 checkout? You got a baby. Okay, what does that mean? You know, every month, I get money from the government because I have a child. For every child you have, you get more money from the government every month. Why? So now they're giving less. But who said they have to give it all? To say they took, they're not taking. They're giving less. It's not right to look at it as they're taking. And that's the difference. How are you going to look at life? A person could always look at life and say, I didn't get, they took this, they took that. Or a person could look and say, look, what I did get. I'm thankful for what I did get. And that's going to be the difference, whether a person's going to be happy or sad. Because life is filled with disappointments, and life is filled with things that can be rewarding and satisfying. And the question is, what am I going to focus on? There's no point in a person's life where a person can't be upset, and there's no point in a person's life where a person can't be happy. The question is, what are you going to focus on? That's our choice. We don't know. Okay, so what Rav Moshe Kotzviru is doing is he's taking that point and he's saying it's even when there are positive and negatives from the same person. And this is the way it is. It could be from one's parents, one's in-laws, one's roommate, one's spouse, one's children. There are always going to be things that are good and things that are bad. And we have to know that we have to turn a blind eye to the bad and be focused on the good.